Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 151. Raquel Rakovac, you are running for city councilor in Ward 2. Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast.
Thank you so much, Joey. Wonderful to be here.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. How long do you have? It's a long story, but I'll shorten it for everyone. Born and raised in Hamilton, lived here for 36 years. Ward 2 and Ward 3 have been my home. I have built my businesses here. I went to Cathedral High School. As we discussed, I was a basketball player. Athletics were a huge part of my life. And now I raise my two sons, and we're living in the Beasley neighborhood. We love it so much and are happy to contribute to the neighborhood. We are coaches. We train athletes, our community. We've just expanded to include memberships over the last few years. And so now turning over and looking to what more can I bring to Hamilton and continue to contribute to and continue to be a part of the positive changes.
Why are you running?
It's such a great question. And you get asked this so much. It's on everyone's mind. They love to know, you know, the background and the inspiration behind moving forward with office. And for me, the question really is why not? Why not get involved? Why not participate in the changes that we want to see? A lot of it has always been about opportunity and where you're at in your life and having the space to be there and be a leader and be present and show up. And, you know, I did have my second son in February, and some people are like, you're crazy. And, you know, I have such a supportive family and supportive friends. And I thought, I can do this. I can move into this space. It's something when you have the passion and the care and the well-being of people and the environment at heart, everything else is possible. A main thing for me being a part of this is moving away from the divisive language and actions. And if we want people to participate and be a part of the process, then we need to encourage positivity and kindness. You know, hate perpetuates hate and will always continue to. Do we want to inspire a community to care about politics, or do we want to continue to divide our community? And we can lead with love and get things accomplished and get things done. And yes, we have challenges. And yes, there are things that we need to work on and work through. But in order to do that, we need to participate and have our community get excited about participate. And I always go back to this idea of team and how do you motivate a team? You know, let's say we have a losing team and, you know, they keep losing every single game. Do we say to this team, you know, you're terrible? Do we use negative rhetoric? Or do we tell our team, we can do this. We can get behind this. We can inspire a win by coming together and working together. And that's what leadership needs to do, is we need to get our constituents excited about the direction we can go in. And we can win more that way as a community when we come together. And that's really the language and actions I want to be a part of.
Do you live in Ward 2? Yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Yes, I do believe it's important, because when you live in your community, you're aware of the issues. They directly impact you, and you can make better decisions when they not only impact just you, but your neighbors. So you come from a place of both experiencing them and understanding. And I do believe it is essential to be connected in everyday life of the community you serve. I also believe having my business has been a massive reason to why I'm running. It's been essential to have a small business built in our community and watch it grow over a decade, and it played a significant role in my decision to run for leadership in this city. Looking at what we built and how our business continues to grow speaks to the way my partner and I continue to serve our community. And creating a safe, inclusive, supportive, positive community was and will continue to be imperative to us in how we continue to grow our business, even through the hardships of COVID-19. We're very active in meeting the members that come into our facility. And these are members that live all across the city. And, you know, we have hundreds of members and some that have been with us for the last 10 years of our business and our growth. And I just believe that from all the feedback we have, we've cultured this community where people feel safe and comfortable and included. And we hear them and we listen and we love getting the feedback and then making adjustments. And seeing the ability for us to build this type of space in our community makes me believe that I can be a part of that in a bigger level in a leadership position. So it is possible and excites me for what can be done in the possibilities.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Well, this is also a very interesting question because when you run for politics, there's this idea and feedback you get from the community is, you know, I've Googled you, I don't see anything that you've done. And I believe that good work, kindness, care is done quietly in your community. It doesn't always need to be loud and it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I grew up very much in a family that taught me to be kind, you know, always stand up for people that are being bullied, always give back and do because it's the right thing to do. And that's what I continue to do every day in my life along with my partner. We've been heavily involved in the encampments and providing resources and food, and not just in that capacity, in the way that we're there and listening and speaking and just being present and understanding what is happening. What are houseless neighbors? How are they being affected? What are they moving through? And that's powerful because you get to understand more than just on a surface level. You really understand people and what they're moving through. And sometimes just being there adds so much to what they're going through. And it gives them a purpose and a value to say, hey, we see you and we're here the best that we can be. And I'll continue to advocate, especially I would say as a business owner and a homeowner in the space where Ferguson encampments were right beside our business and they're very present in our community. You know, I don't look at it as I want our houseless neighbors to be moved out. I want to say, how can I help? How can I give to this situation? How can we find short-term solutions? Because we are all residents of this city. And so getting back to your question in terms of contribution, and I build this into my life every day. You know, I pick up litter in my neighborhood because it's the right thing to do. And I believe the more actions we take, the more people are inspired. They see it. They want to get involved. They want to be a part of it. And so I've really used this platform to do all the things I've already been doing and contributing in my life to get people excited about community. And it's really interesting because when you're out with a bucket picking up litter, people want to, hey, what are you doing over there when you're delivering food to the houseless? People want it. They get excited and inspired by it. And so therefore, we've grown a bigger team of people wanting to get involved. And so I just say, live it. Do it every day in your life, not because you need to be a part of a group or an organization. And those things are important too, but because it's just the right thing to do. And whether I win or not, I'll continue doing it every day in my life.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 2 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Short-term housing is definitely a major priority. Short-term housing solutions that provide mental health support. And I've been a huge advocate about the HATS organization and in conversation and understanding what their project is about. And we need to begin seriously looking at these solutions. Long-term is essential, but short-term is necessary and it is needed now. And I hear a lot at the doors of people speaking about ghettos and the fear of creating ghettos. And to be honest, we are facing ghettos right now in this situation. And the short-term housing solution that HATS is providing is far from the idea of a ghetto, because when you understand their project, you understand that what they'll be providing is 24-hour service and individual shelters, which will be much more safe. And even with the encampments and then speaking to those that are houseless, our houseless neighbors, what is happening is they're coming together in these encampments to support one another, because a lot of our marginalized groups, a lot of women are facing violence, brutalized violence. And so we need to start looking at how do we protect and provide a safe space. And I really do seriously believe we need to consider and look into creating solutions with the HATS organization. The second is affordable housing. We need to continue to support our local non-for-profit groups on their affordable housing projects. And this can happen by changing the policy we created for development charges. And so, you know, my understanding and from speaking with representatives at Victoria Park Homes is in that policy, they tried to, and the city tried to eliminate double dipping. So basically that if you get government funding, you don't and cannot access city funding. The issue is that the government funding that non-for-profits receive, it doesn't cover development fee charges. And so that's a huge, huge reason why projects either slow down or they don't become viable, is because it's in imperative that they get the development charges so the projects can move forward. So we really need to address and look at that more closely and change the language so that we're opening up the space for these affordable housing projects to continue moving forward. And secondly on that is a group by the name of Kindred Works. And, you know, I'm constantly looking at ways that we can increase inventory. And the United Church basically started this development group within their organization called Kindred Works, who acts as the development manager of the projects. And what they've done is there's vacant churches all across Canada, and specifically many in the city of Hamilton, and they've become vacant and they want to give back to the community in true intentions of giving back to people. And in that way, transforming and repurposing the churches into affordable housing, which is a brilliant idea to add to the city, add to the inventory, and continue to meet the demands of affordable housing. And for all of Hamilton, and I believe this is at the top of every candidate's list and our community from knocking at the doors, is fixing our roads. And so we need to actively work with council to develop an action plan immediately to fix our streets. And like I said, for every candidate and every person we're knocking on doors, and just even being present in neighborhoods and our streets and walking them, we all realize there's extensive work to be done. So, you know, when we get on council and we're around that table, this will be a priority that needs to be addressed immediately and immediate action taken. The second is climate change. And we need to start seriously addressing climate change and being proactive as a city in taking the necessary measures for solutions and committing to equitable distribution of forest canopy. Adding tree canopies is one way to protect people and communities from future heat waves. A great example of this was the city of Vancouver, and they made it their goal to increase tree canopies to cover 30% of the city by 2050. And I believe we can have these bold visions and we can implement it. We just need to take the action. Action is something that has been so limited in progressively getting to where we need to be. And so I do believe with the council and candidates and the enthusiasm, and now more than ever with the advisors and people around us telling us we need to take action, we need to do this, I do believe that we will have change coming into our communities.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 2 on Hamilton City Council?
First for me is compassionate leadership. That's how I lead my life. That's the type of leadership that inspires me. We can be kind, be caring, put the well-being of people and our environment as a priority, and still lead and take action and be progressive. And I believe if we all come from a place of compassion, our city will grow in the direction and care that we want to see. And that's just primary for me. And I always look at, how does leadership inspire me? And then how can I implement that and take action and use that language to culture? And so it deeply excites me that I'm hearing the feedback from constituents. And when I speak about compassionate leadership, and you know, they look at you and they say, that's interesting you say that. I don't hear that word enough in politics. And I think to myself, why not? Why are we turning away? Why does it make us feel like it's any less strengthening and more weak if we're leading with compassion? If anything, compassion over and over again is what builds our communities. And we're seeing it in our neighborhoods and by the way of how communities are treating one another and people are looking after one another. And it's inspiring. And I will continue to lead with that. The second is teamwork. You know, being in a place of coach for all of these years, you work with many different individuals, many different people, opposing views, challenges, because ultimately you're transforming and, you know, uprooting a certain way that someone lived and has been living for many years. And it teaches you how to work with different people, and not everyone's the same, and not one thing works for the same individual. And it's never a straight path. It's always, you know, you have to sit down, figure it out, how to move around it. And so coaching has really opened me up to be able to deal with many different people and be able to reach goals and be successful, but also to move through the space of failure and opposition, which is okay because it's not supposed to be an easy, clear path. That's not teamwork. Teamwork is, how do I work with all these different individuals and still come out winning and still come out succeeding and still reaching our goals? And it's possible. And I know it because I teach it and I learn it and I move through it every day. And so it excites me to bring that experience of teamwork to the table and figure out how we work together and how we work through opposition. And I'm optimistic about where we can go and where we will go with that. The third, and this might be interesting, but it's so important, especially over these last 3 years of what's happened, you know, COVID-19 and how much people have suffered and challenged through. And it's been a lot. And mental health, we need to look at this closely. And as leaders, we need to be able to open up space in ourselves to lead. And I think, how can we lead if we're not taking care of ourselves? And it doesn't come from a place of, hey, I'm a business owner of a gym, it makes sense that you would say this. It comes from a person who has experienced depression, who has experienced fear and stress and anxiety, and has learned how to work through those things through, you know, mental health resources, through taking care of myself, through fitness. And we have all types of people, CEOs, surgeons, doctors, teachers, who say, this is a space I've created for myself and it allows me to be better and give more to my clients and to my family life. And we need to seriously address, as leaders and in the community, of how are we taking care of ourselves? So mental health resources and providing that and advocating on behalf of that is going to be essential. I mean, when you give back to yourself, you're in a position where you open up space to lead and lead our community and lead our constituents.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Essentially, this is teamwork, and this comes down to a team effort. We need compassionate leadership that is ready to put people first and make decisions that are in the best interest of those we represent. We must learn from our past mistakes. And what we have is an opportunity to learn and do better as a council. It is essential as a council that we remember at the heart of every decision we make is to represent all of our constituents and their interests, and to ask ourselves, are we doing that?
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Being open-minded, I will look at the report through the lens of not just a counselor and leader, but also a concerned citizen and a mother of two children. Safety on our roads is the utmost importance. We need to rebuild our trust with both the city and its counselors. Trust is essential to believing that our leadership is acting in our best interest and well-being. Trust is imperative.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Creating a plan that supports our local businesses is a necessary, and we must implement a way for businesses to survive. I believe they are the heart and soul of our community and an important part to a thriving local economy. Develop our laneways and beautify them to use them as storefronts during that time. Construction will also bring lots of workers to our downtown core, and we need to encourage them and implement programs that can have them going for lunches or dinners and encouraging them to stay and put money into local businesses. And that way, it will also open them up to businesses they didn't know exist. It is challenging, but I know it is doable and achievable. And I am confident that we can get results on our city council by using and implementing and working with our BIAs and working with our local businesses and Metrolinx to understand a plan that is viable to carry them during this difficult time of construction. With the LRT construction in our downtown core, we will lose our trees. We must support and follow through rigorously with our city plan to plant new trees and greenery to replace these along our side street neighborhoods. In addition, we need to work diligently with our community and city planning to ensure these designs execute a pedestrian-friendly street design, one that will complement a progressive city experience that supports environment, pedestrians, and cyclists of all ages to use the streets freely. This is also an opportunity to utilize porous asphalt pavements, which are being used successfully throughout the continent. According to the Environment Organization, the potential benefits to stormwater management of porous pavements include water treatment, pollutant removal, reduced or elimination of the need for curbing and storm sewers, reducing flooding of basements and runoffs into our local waterways. And of course, we need to make sure that it meets the budgets, but we need to look more progressively, and especially that we have the opportunity now to make those changes. We need to be more aggressive in the way that we pursue creating community and community that not only serves the people, but it serves the environment as well.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 2 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Our parks. We have, I believe, been from traveling some of the best parks in the world, and you know, specifically the waterfront trail. It's absolutely something I tell people they have to go down and experience. And I get the best space and time and community when I'm down there and walking the trail and the people you meet. So I always say everybody has to experience the waterfront trail when they come to Hamilton.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the types of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. Ward 2 zoning includes the Downtown Secondary Plan, the West Harbor Secondary Plan, better known as Setting Sail, LRT corridor zoning, and some pockets of the old city of Hamilton residential zoning. There are two high-level and one specific question regarding this topic. Ontario's provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, designates a minimum 500-meter radius surrounding GO stations and LRT stops as major transit station areas. In effect, most of Ward 2 is located within an MTSA. Development will occur. The question is where and if it is approved by council or the Ontario Land Tribunal. What is your land use planning vision and how will you achieve it?
To continue developing housing and affordable housing is essential. To continue meeting the demands of our growing population, we need to continue encouraging density. If we are passionate about our green space and farms, then we must find a balance to continue encouraging density within our city center. A mixed use of commercial and residential is essential because small businesses are what build a thriving, growing community, and small businesses create appeal. I also want to discuss about sustainable urban integration, which looks beyond the building of tracks and trains to create neighborhoods that are safe, attractive, and connected. This involves designing livable, pedestrian-friendly environments and adding enhancements that reflect the feel and character of each of the communities along the LRT corridor. This can happen by building shared use pathways, sidewalks, and trails, adding bike lanes that connect to the city's existing bike lane network, designing pedestrian-friendly zones around stops and stations, using enhanced landscaping and streetscaping along the length of the corridor to create a more natural environment, incorporating organic materials such as stone and wood wherever possible, and replacing lost tree canopy.
How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
A councillor's role is representing current and potential future residents. With the need for housing in the ward so obviously apparent, rejecting gentle intensification such as secondary dwelling units would be irresponsible. As a councillor, you could help your residents manage the change and explain the rationale for why we need small types of incremental unit additions as a way to provide homeowners with income to supplement their mortgage and renters a place to live given pressures on the rental market today, with rental prices greatly exceeding the ability of a family on a minimum wage to afford.
Hamilton City Council signed an agreement with a group of developers to transact the City of Hamilton's downtown properties to them. The deal is secret, council having declared the deal confidential. Additionally, council signed a deal for the Barton Tiffany land. There is one missing piece to the deals, the Sir John A. McDonald Secondary School site. What is your vision for this school board-owned property, and how will you implement that vision?
We need to continue advocating for progressive thinking and action designs that complement and continue to build community and are on par with our city climate change initiatives. We have such a huge arts and athletic culture that we can integrate into this space, along with a mixed use of residential, commercial, and community space. And of course, use of trees, gardens, and benches are essential. We have an opportunity to create a legacy at this location, an inclusive legacy, and we need to integrate our community into the process of envisioning and creating this development together.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 2. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
I believe this goes back to speaking about why it's important to live in your neighborhood, because you're frequenting parks, neighborhoods, and accessing resources, and therefore you understand what is necessary and needed for a thriving community. When you're walking our streets, and I can speak to this, you know, as a mother who's walking her children, I'm more reluctant to walk along, let's say, the Cannon Street corridor because I'm worried or nervous about how fast cars are speeding by and how close the cars are to the sidewalk. And if we want to continue to encourage walking and biking in our neighborhoods, then we have to seriously address road safety and more secure bike lanes for riders to feel safe and comfortable in, buffers between streets and sidewalks. I had someone on Twitter send me this idea, and I really loved it, of these colorful bike lanes that a city made and used. And there's so many cities that we can tap into and look at and who are doing this successfully. And I always think we have to be constantly in a position of being able to learn and learn from cities that are doing it and have integrated it very well. I believe we need to provide safe zones for children and young adults. Areas around playgrounds, parks, schools, and community centers require special attention, safe zones, and speed bumps. These need to be implemented primarily in all schools, parks, and community center neighborhoods. Another idea is pedestrian plazas. Pedestrian plazas can inexpensively transform underused spaces into community assets. Something very interesting is when they close down certain streets, let's say Houston, and it doesn't impede traffic for them to close down. Everything exists and keeps existing and keeps moving as is. And we really need to look at utilizing these streets towards creating community. And when we do that, we encourage small businesses to come in. We encourage people to, again, bike more, walk more, sit, enjoy, communicate, come together. And I believe these are bold and progressive ideas that we can do. And there are many cities that are doing this.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for a decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
It's already happening, which has been the most exciting part of this process from the day I announced my candidacy and began knocking on doors and talking to our community. The learning process has begun, and the best way to learn is by talking to our constituents and learning from them and understanding, because they're so deeply connected to the neighborhoods and they understand the issues and what is going on. And then you have organizations and different groups reaching out and educating you and making you more aware and how we can do better as leaders and how we can integrate different programming. And I look at myself and I think I want to enter into leadership always as a sponge, constantly soaking in all of the knowledge around me from those people that know it and are taking action. And in that regard, leadership doesn't always have to know everything. I believe you need to be open to listening to solutions. You have to be always open to educating. And when we stop that process, we stop really taking in a huge part of community that has wonderful ideas and wonderful insight into how we can do better.
What are 2 changes you will propose to improve city services?
More frequent buses, less wait times, and less crowding on buses. We need buses that are available throughout the entire city. We speak about inclusivity And providing transportation across the entire city helps to create that. I was volunteering and helping out at Plan B Organics, which is an organic local farm in Flamborough, and great people doing wonderful things for our community. And, you know, they discussed how they're not able to show their farm more, have more volunteers participate in their process because there's no buses that come up. And I think we have to think more about what is in the best interest of all of our community. And if we're in line with climate change initiatives, and if we're in line with representing everyone, then we need to look at, are we providing transportation across the city for people to be able to access small businesses, for people to be able to access their family and friends? And so this is a very important part about building community. And so we need to proactively work to create this into our community. Secondly, we need to address the best way for our policing services to be used, especially when it comes to how we utilize their services for removing encampments and responding to incidents involving mental health. We need to address the best people equipped to deal with these situations and how we can implement those healthcare professionals to respond and be first on scene to help mitigate the situation. Police are there to serve and protect, and we have to continue working on repairing a relationship and working to systematically make changes in order to regain trust and hope with the police in our community and those groups that have been deeply impacted and negatively affected by these actions.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
I propose that leadership is involved in the community and engaged with actively helping and being a part of culturing a city we are proud of. Leadership needs to get involved, know your community and what they are doing and how you can further support it, because it is our community that isn't greatly improving the quality of life in our neighborhoods. As a community, so many of us are already doing the good work, caring for our neighbors and neighborhoods. It's inspiring. It's very inspiring. And if we continue to amplify, take action, and work together, we will see a community that improves significantly. I'm personally inspired by our community members. They're improving the quality of life. It's happening. It's happening in Corktown, in the North End, in Beasley, and in Durand. I see neighbors picking up garbage, supporting local business, helping our houseless neighbors, watching out for our children, building community gardens, working together to have city and have city leadership. It's powerful. And that's where we need to start. And our leaders need to lead with people and our community.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What 3 words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what 3 words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
Compassionate, empowering, teamwork. Compassionate, empowering, teamwork.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
I want people to believe that anything is possible. Go for it. Believe in yourself. If you care for people, love our city, care for the environment, then you are already winning. I want people and good people to know that they can run for city council and make a difference, and they are enough, and they are good enough to be there. And I think if we culture more positivity, more kindness, more compassionate, and we have more of our youth getting excited to be a part of the process and make it inclusive and not divisionary, then we will continue to build a city that we are all proud of. So if in the next few years you're really considering running and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, you know, the fear and the challenges and, you know, about opposition, go for it. You learn what you experience is far greater than anything else.
And how do people find out more about your platform and connect with you?
Absolutely. They can do so through my website. It's Raquel, R-A-Q-U-E-L, for ward2.com. My Twitter is at Raquel Rakovac, and my Instagram is my artist name at Raquel Kiera.
This has been episode 151 of The Public Records, The 155 Podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.